ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಗವದ್ಗೀತಾ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 13 ಕ್ಷೇತ್ರ ಕ್ಷೇತ್ರಜ್ಞ ವಿಭಾಗ ಯೋಗ ಶ್ಲೋಕ 8 ಅಮಾನಿತ್ವಂ ಅದಂಭಿತ್ವಂ ಅಹಿಂಸಾ ಕ್ಷಾಂತಿರಾರ್ಜವಂ ಆಚಾರ್ಯೋಪಾಸನಂ ಶೌಚಂ ಸ್ಥೈರ್ಯಮಾತ್ಮ ವಿನಿಗ್ರಹ. ಸೊ ವಿ ಮೆನ್ಷನ್ಡ್ ಏರ್ಲಿಯರ್ ದಟ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಈಸ್ ಟಾಕಿಂಗ್ ಎಬೌಟ್ ಜ್ಞಾನಂ in this shloka, and we also said in this context, this is a unique context in the Vedic scriptures, in our scriptures, that jnanam means virtues or values which are conducive for atmajnanam. They promote, they support atmajnanam, and that is why jnanam itself, values itself, is given the name jnanam in this particular chapter. And in this shloka we have seen in detail ಅಮಾನಿತ್ವಂ ಅದಂಬಿತ್ವಂ ಅಹಿಂಸಾ ಕ್ಷಾಂತಿ ಆರ್ಜವಂ ಆಚಾರ್ಯೋಪಾಸನಂ ಶೌಚಂ. ಅಪ್ ಟು ದಟ್ ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಸೀನ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಲಾಸ್ಟ್ ವೆಬಿನಾರ್. ನೌ ಲೆಟ್ ಅಸ್ ಕಂಟಿನ್ಯೂ ವಿತ್ ದ ರಿಮೈನಿಂಗ್ ಟೂ ವ್ಯಾಲ್ಯೂಸ್ ಗಿವನ್ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಶ್ಲೋಕ. ಸೊ ಸ್ಥೈರ್ಯಂ, ಸ್ಥೈರ್ಯಂ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಸ್ಟೆಡಿನೆಸ್ ಆರ್ ಸ್ಟೆಡ್ಫಸ್ಟ್ನೆಸ್. ಸೊ ಸ್ಥಿರಸ್ಯ ಭಾವ ಸ್ಥೈರ್ಯಂ. ಸೊ ವೆರಿ ಸ್ಟೆಡ್ಫಸ್ಟ್. In what one should be steadfast? In Vedantic pursuit. That is what the topic is here. So, moksha marga sthiratha. A person should be firm in gaining moksha. And this is important because moksha involves what? The change of an inner personality, an attitude, which is a very, very difficult job. Getting other degrees are not difficult because they don't ask us to give up ragadvesha. We can get PhD in this, in that, and all those things anybody can get, because you don't have to leave raga and dvesha. One can get anything in this world and still remain with all the raga and dvesha. But this one field where ragadvesha cannot be there, ragadvesha and moksha can never go together at all. So here alone we have to change our mentality, our character, our attitude. We find it very difficult and we often fall. I decide I should not get angry, but I find I get angry all the time. I decide I should not get anxious, but I find I always get anxious. I always get worried. So every negative thought seems to come again and again. And after some time, one can become pessimistic. So as Arjuna himself became pessimistic in the 6th chapter, even after being taught by Krishna, he says, so when pessimism comes on, one can get out of this. At that time only, one should have sthiratva. So when pessimism comes, people will naturally tend to leave. That is the time one should be steadfast. Then what to do when depression comes? For that alone, bhakti is prescribed. I have got faith in the Lord. That is why Krishna says, mayi cha ananya yogena bhaktihi avyabhicharini. That's what he said, avyabhicharini. So if the bhakti is there in the presence of the Lord, I can attain this goal of moksha. So bhakti will give me enough sthairyam, steadfastness. Then atma vinigraha, that is the next value. Vinigraha refers to self-control, self-control, Atma Vinigraha. So self here means the body mind, not the Sachidananda Atma. So Karya Karana Sangadasya Nigraha, control of that. Or to put in our terminology, Shama and Dhamma, mind control and control of Indriyas, both together. Okay, the purpose is very, very evident. Only when the mind, body and sense organs are controlled, then alone one can apply them in Vedanta Shravanadi, Vedanta Vichara. If somebody wants to come to Vedanta, this is a very, very important step. Otherwise, one can physically sit in the class, mind will be wandering elsewhere. They cannot be attentive. Whatever is said will not get into them. So it is very important. That is, so this is Thairyam, Atma Vinigraha. Atma, as I told, is not the Sachidananda Atma, it is oneself. ಇಂದ್ರಿಯಾರ್ಥೇಷು ವೈರಾಗ್ಯಂ ಅನಹಂಕಾರ ಏವ ಚ ಜನ್ಮ ಮೃತ್ಯುಜರ ವ್ಯಾಧಿ ದುಃಖದೋಷಾನುದರ್ಶನಂ. Krishna is now continuing the topic on values, which are called in this chapter as jnanam, as I mentioned earlier. So here he says, indriyartheshu vairagyam, absence of attachment, that is vairagyam, towards what? Towards the sense objects, indriyartheshu. Here the word artha, indriyartha, artha means vishayaha, vishayaha is objects. So indriyartha means indriya vishayaha, shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandaha. So all those things. Towards all of them, vairagyam. Vairagyam means detachment. And again we have to remember, when we say detachment, we only mean absence of attachment. These two are, one has to understand these things carefully. Detachment, by that what we mean is absence of attachment. We don't mean hatred. Nothing needs to be hated. Neither raga nor dvesha. Attachment or hatred, we don't have to have hatred. So whenever we read vairagyam, we should understand it is viraga dveshaha. Raga alone is told here, but we should include dvesha also. So vairagyam means freedom from both. So when likes and dislikes, one should be freedom, have freedom from both of them. And how to get vairagyam? It cannot be forced, then it will be suppressed vairagyam. That is dangerous. We have told many times, if you suppress, then it becomes dangerous, because after some time it will erupt in some other form. So vairagyam must be born out of vivekaha, the understanding, discrimination. It should be born out of my understanding and appreciation, not because it has to be suppressed because I am afraid of somebody. And what is the understanding? If I think that the world will give me peace of mind and happiness, then naturally I will develop raga towards the world, attachment towards the world, because I think world is going to give me happiness. When will dvesha come? When I think that the world gives me sorrow, insecurity, disturbing my peace, then I will develop dvesha, hatred towards the world. So put it in Sanskrit, if I look upon the world as sukha hetuhu, causing happiness, I will have raga, attachment. If I look upon the world as dukkha hetuhu, hetuhu means cause, I will have dvesha or hatred towards the world. And if I have discrimination, the viveka shakti, what will I find? That the world is neither sukha hetu nor dukkha hetu. It never gives me joy nor sorrow. It is me who is creating sorrow in me, and it is me who has to get out of that sorrow also. Swamiji has written a book, The Problem is You, The Solution is You. Once I understand that, I will have objective outlook towards the world. Then how will I get joy in life? For that, I need self-knowledge, which I am seeking now. Purnatvam. He already told Purnatvam. That is peace of mind, security. They are all through self-knowledge. That is not anywhere else. And then comes anahankaraha, absence of ahankara. Shankaracharya does not give any meaning for ahankara here. We can take different meanings. One meaning we will see now, for example, we can say it is the absence of dehatma buddhi, strong identification with the body. Dehatma buddhi means that. And this is also an important value, because dehabhimana is an obstacle. Identification with the body is an obstacle for the knowledge, aham, brahma, asmi. Actually, in the 12th chapter, we saw, klesho dikataras tesham, avyakta sakta chetasam, avyakta higatir dukkham, dehavadbiravaptite. So we saw that. So dehabhimanam and self-knowledge, they can never get together. They can never go together at all, because self-knowledge means what? Knowing that I am immortal. And dehabhimana means what? Constantly feeling I am mortal. How can I am mortal feeling and I am immortal knowledge can ever go together? They cannot. And so dehabhimana is the greatest obstacle for atmajnana. So anahankaraha. Anahankaraha means anatmatu ahankarana. So karaha means notion. Aham, aham, this I. So ahankaraha means the I notion. Where dehe, in the body, we thinking of the body as I. Okay, but it does not mean that we should completely neglect our body. The scripture never says that we should look down upon our own body. No, the scriptures very much agree that the body is very important for Atmajnana. Very important. Sharira Madhyam Kalu Dharma Sadhanam. Without a healthy body, nothing can be achieved. Even for sitting 1 hour in the class, it requires some basic health. Otherwise, the knee pains, that pains, this pains, all those things. But what the scripture says is that the body is only a means to gain this knowledge. And this means happen to be a perishable means. Body is a perishable one. And so do not hold on to this perishable means as though it is the ultimate goal, but make use of the body. Take care of it very well. Make use of it mean as a means to go beyond the body and achieve the end, namely the moksha end. But don't think that you are going to be physically eternal. That is not possible. Make use of the body to attain your goal. Do not think that this body is eternal. This is what, you know, Bhadragiri said, you know, kalo nayataha vayameva yatha. That's what he said. They wanted to escape time, but they themselves have gone away because time continues, but they go away. So physical immortality is not possible. It is only a means to an end. Never take it as an end in itself. So this attitude of looking at the body as a means and not as an end, that is called detachment or anahankaraha. And how is it possible to get the detachment? For that Krishna says, there is only one method. Observe your own body. Then what will you understand? What will I see? Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadi, Dukkha, Dosha, Anudarshanam. I see all these. Once we see the various defects in the body, doshas, attachment will automatically go away. Then what are the defects in the body? Janma. It is not anadi. It has birth. There is a date of birth. There is going to be a date of death also. Mrityu, it has got death. And in between birth and death, there are terrible things happening to me. Jara, old age is coming. We mean all the associated difficulties along with that. Joint pain, teeth pain, organ failure, hair becoming either, you know, completely bald or what. All those things, they come. All those organs, they gave me pleasure. They are all failing now. The tooth with which I enjoyed all types of food, once that tooth pain comes, then we know. That is to show that the world is only relative. Then Vyadi. Vyadi is a disease which is not only in old age. After old age, Vyadi is regular. But before that, it is coming like a visitor many times. So Dukkham, mental pain caused by separation, caused by insult, Doshaha, all these defects, then Samanaha Swaryataha. So Bhadragiri in Vairagya Sargam, he says, so samanaha, people of my same age have gone away. That's what he says. People who are of my age, they have gone away. And every death reminds me that I am in that hit list of Yamadharma Raja one day. And so Dukkha Dosha Anudarshanam. I see this. And the beauty is what, you know? This is the glory of Maya. Whenever we read these lines, Vairagyam will come. We will all see. This is called Smashana Vairagyam and Purana Vairagyam. You know, somebody is dead, so they are taking the body to cremate. So they are saying Rama Nama Satyahe Ramana. They are taking it all the way. And this guy will talk all the things. No, look at that. You know, body is all perishable. Life is like that only. One day it's going to go. So Rama Nama only is Satya. All that they will say. Not even they would have reached this Smashana place, the cremation ground. Immediately everything changes. They put the body there and the world changes as if they think they are going to be permanent. So Krishna says, Vairagyam will not be strengthened by thinking of this once. One has to be repeated. Repeatedly see this fact. So Anudarshanam, repeatedly seeing this fact. So Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadi, Dukkha, Dosha, Anudarshanam. It will help in what? Anahankaraha. The detachment. Ahankara, anahankara. So this is the meaning of this line. So now let us come back again to the meaning of anahankara. We saw one meaning, freedom from attachment to the body, dehabhimana. And how to get that? Janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, dukkha, dosha, anudarshanam. Shankaracharya does not say anything for this word in his commentary, as I mentioned earlier. But many of the commentators, they have taken anahankaraha to mean freedom from arrogance. Darparahityam. Many people have interpreted that way. So if we give this meaning, we may feel that it has been already mentioned in the previous shloka. Amanitvam, adambitvam, ahimsa, kshantihi, arjavam, in that shloka. There we have made a subtle difference between these three words, amanitvam, adambitvam, and anahankaraha. Anahankaraha means freedom from superiority complex at the mental level. So Anandagiri, he says, you know, tirohitaha avalepaha, tirohita avalepaha. It's a hidden complex. It's a hidden complex. And what is amanitvam? Not talking about the superiority of oneself. So the atmanaha shladana abhavaha. One does not say, pronounce, make it prakatikaranam. That's what we said at that time. He does not announce amanitvam. So one is at the mental level, feeling level, and another is at the talking level, announcing level. And adambitvam is at the action level. Not having a pomp and show. So there is no need to express it in so many different ways. So like, you know, if I give a small gift, Krishna tells in the 16th chapter, I bring all photographers, you know, press, TV crew, and everybody published in newspapers. That is dambitvam. So anahankaraha means absence of superiority complex at mental level. Amanitvam at oral level. And adambitvam at action level. So these are the differences for these three words. Shloka 10.
Asaktirana vishvangaha putradhara grihadishu nityancha samachittatvam ishtanishtopapattishu.
So asaktihi. Saktihi means, Shankaracharya says here, Vishayeshu Preetihi, liking various sense objects, likes to various sense objects, Vishayeshu Preetihi, and claiming them as mine. As some commentator says, Mamakaraha, it is called Mahankara, Ahankara, this is Mamakara. Because when there is Preeti, liking, naturally I like to get associated with that object. And then Mamakara is developed towards that particular object. This attachment is called saktihi in this shloka. And asakti means absence of that attachment. Here also we may feel that there is a repetition because absence of attachment. Because in the previous shloka, we had indriya arteshu vairagyam, detachment from indriya vishayas, indriya objects. So that's what we said earlier. Here again, asaktihi means detachment. Then how do we distinguish this asakti and vishayandreshu vairagyam? How are you going to distinguish both of them? That it is with respect to objects, the inert objects of the sense organs like car, radio, all those things, indriya vishayaha. Here asaktihi is with respect to people like friends, relatives and all those things. So not that they should be hated. If they are dependents, they should be helped and loved. Show my love towards them. Swadvesta sarvabhutanam maitra karuna evacha, Krishna told. So show friendship where friendship is to be shown. Show compassion where it is to be shown. We are not negating them, but absence of attachment. Always we have distinguished between love and attachment. Okay, then anabhishvangaha putra dara grihadishu. When we talk about detachment from people, immediately we will feel, what about my own family members, putraha, my own son? It includes putri also, my daughter. And dara, wife, griham, house, the one that I myself have built. Each brick in that house I know. So adishu means etc. Servants and so many other things, pets, whatever one can think of. So towards all of them, should we have detachment or not? That's the question. Krishna says, anabhishvangaha. Absence of excessive detachment, excessive attachment. Do not have attachment, but do not have excessive attachment. Because total detachment is very difficult. So don't have too much of attachment. Excessive attachment is tadatmyam, ahankaraha. Simple attachment is mamakaraha. They belong to me. They are mine. Excessive attachment is what? I don't say they belong to me, but I feel I am themselves. That's the difference between these two. when they are sick, I feel I am sick. So, putre nashte aham nashtaha, putre jate aham jataha. That is the feeling. So, it becomes total identification. That is called excessive attachment. And that should be avoided. And how to avoid that? It's very difficult, because when we live with some people for some time, attachment is bound to come. You cannot say, oh, I'm like a sannyasi living. No, it will come. That is why when they take sannyasa, they become parivrajakas. They don't stay in one place, keep on moving. Because the psychology is what? When you are associated with something for some time, even a simple pencil, for example, if you have used for 10 years, a special attachment comes to that. That is why sannyasis had no physical association at all. They were constantly moving. They don't stay in one place. But it is not possible for a grahastha. And even if he moves with those things also. With all these attachments, he moves. They forget, you know, Kadurunda Usiyam, Varade Kanum, Kadaivarike. There is a statement. So at the time of death, at the last time, last moment, even a needle without its ear, even that will not come with us. But they don't think that. They want to take everything with them. So how to get over this problem? There is only one way. We should remember that all the people are together because of some karma. The jiva has been eternally living before, will live later also. The journey of the jiva is from beginningless time, and it is going to go on till moksha comes. It is going to continue. Till a person gets moksha, this is going to continue only. And it has been for millions of janmas. And it is determined by what? By the prarabdha karma. And when the prarabdha karma of different people come together, and because of that, a few people join, they belong to one family, they have like similar values, likings. So it is all because of karma. And once that particular karma is over, again the jivas will have to go in different directions. Have come from different directions, they will have to go in different directions. In the previous janma, all the family members, do you think they all come from the same family? No. Not even same species perhaps, we don't know. One may be a human, another may be even a monkey, we don't know. So another may be a donkey, another may be a deva, we don't know. So according to karma, all had human birth, they came together. And afterwards, one may come back again to Manishya Janma, Manishya Loka, another to Deva Loka, another to some Naraka Loka. We don't know what will happen next. So the best comparison is a train journey. Different people enter in different stations. And we happen to be in the same train for some time. How long? Till the respective stations come. So for one, it is a 4-hour journey. For another, it is a 10-hour journey. For another one, it will be a 40-hour journey. So, if we look upon our family as a railway compartment, as long as we are together, let us love each other. Once the station has come, he has to go away. No regrets. In fact, he has got into the train only to get out at some other time. That is how one should take it. If you remember that, then too much of attachment will be avoided. So, don't say attachment will totally go. It is very difficult for it to go. But then separation will not be a very big shock. That's what we mean. It will be an expected thing. I am mentally prepared for that to happen someday. So if this mental preparation is not there, death becomes a mental tragedy. The beauty is, whose station comes first? Son before father, father before son? Nobody knows. So even though it is a pain, it is painful to hear, it is good to recognize them when we are sane. So anabhishvangaha putra dara grihadishu. Here also we should remember, for example, if someone is sick, people might think, why to help? After all, everyone has to go one day, he is going to die. No, showing love is quite different from being attached. The difference between attachment and love is what? In attachment, one is blind to facts. You don't accept facts. In love, you do what you have to do, but you are ready to accept the fact. Your intellect is bright in love, but is blind in attachment. In attachment, there is expectation. In love, there is giving only. Then, nityancham samachittatvam ishta అనిష్ట ఉపపత్తిషు. సో సమచిత్తత్వం మీన్స్ ఈక్వనిమిటీ, పాయిస్ ఇన్ వాట్ ఇష్ట అనిష్ట ఉపపత్తిషు. వెన్ ఎ వెల్కమ్ సిచ్యువేషన్ కమ్స్ ఆర్ వెన్ అన్ అన్వెల్కమ్ సిచ్యువేషన్ కమ్స్, పెయిన్ఫుల్ సిచ్యువేషన్ ఇస్ దేర్ ఫిజికలీ ఆర్ మెంటలీ, ఉపపత్తిషు. వెన్ ది అరైస్ ఇన్ లైఫ్, సమచిత్తత్వం, మెయింటైనింగ్ ద ఈక్వనిమిటీ, నాట్ రియాక్టింగ్ టు దట్ సిచ్యువేషన్. అండ్ వెన్ షుడ్ దిస్ బి అబ్జర్వ్డ్? కృష్ణ సేస్ నిత్యం, ఆల్వేస్. దిస్ అలోన్ ఈస్ ద వాల్యూ ఆఫ్ అక్సెప్టెన్స్. ఇఫ్ యూ క్యాన్ రెమెడీ, చేంజ్ ఆర్ ఇంప్రూవ్ ద సిచ్యువేషన్, డూ యువర్ బెస్ట్, నో ప్రాబ్లమ్. ద మోమెంట్ ఎ పెయిన్ఫుల్ సిచ్యువేషన్ కమ్స్, ఇన్స్టెడ్ ఆఫ్ రిపీటింగ్ ద సిచ్యువేషన్ టు ఎనీ వన్ ఎల్స్, ఆస్క్ ద క్వశ్చన్, వాట్ ఆర్ ఆల్ మై ఆప్షన్స్? ఇఫ్ ద బాస్ ఇస్ నాట్ నైస్, వాట్ క్యాన్ ఐ డూ? క్యాన్ ఐ టాక్ టు హిమ్, హిస్ సుపీరియర్, ఆర్ క్యాన్ యూ ప్రొటెస్ట్ ఇన్ ఎనీ అదర్ మేనర్ ఆర్ రిసైన్? వన్ క్యాన్ హ్యావ్ సో మెనీ ఆప్షన్స్. ఇఫ్ ద బాస్ ఇస్ నైఫ్, వాట్ దిస్ ఇస్ నాట్ నైస్, దిస్ ఆర్ ఆల్ ఆప్షన్స్ వన్ క్యాన్ హ్యావ్. సపోజ్ వీ ఫైండ్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ దెమ్ ఆర్ నాట్ పాసిబుల్, దెన్ ద సిచ్యువేషన్ ఇస్ వాట్? చాయిస్లెస్ సఫరింగ్. సిన్స్ ఆల్ డోర్స్ ఆర్ క్లోజ్డ్, గో టు ద పూజా రూమ్ అండ్ అక్సెప్ట్ ద సఫరింగ్. దెర్ ఇస్ నో అదర్ వే, బికాస్ ఆల్ డోర్స్ ఆర్ క్లోజ్డ్. So it is good to suffer without employment or with employment. So that is the question one should ask. So instead of brooding over the situation, ask the question, what can I do? And once we have chosen that, nityam cha samachittatvam, oh Lord, I accept this because it seems that I have to go through this. There is no choice out. So it must be for my purification, my improvement. So I accept this, not before trying all other means. So if we say in the beginning itself, accept, then it becomes fatalism, a fatalistic attitude. Oh, it is my talavidhi. What is written here, I cannot, lalata likitam, I cannot change it. That's what people might think. It is never a fatalistic philosophy. We accept purushartha. We accept free will. And we have to use our free will to remedy our situation. So brooding on any situation is never going to improve the situation. Perhaps after some time, weeks or months, maybe a couple of years, one can take stock of the situation again to see whether any change has happened that might benefit me. So one has to analytically look at it. So nityam cha samachittatvam. This should be extended to karma also. In fact, Swamiji says that this is the essence of karma yoga. యోగస్థ కురు కర్మాణి సంగం త్యక్త్వా ధనంజయ సిద్ధ సిద్ధ్యోసమో భూత్వా సమత్వం యోగ ఉచ్యతే, చాప్టర్ 2. సో ఇన్ యాక్షన్ ఆల్సో ఎయిదర్ సక్సెస్ ఆర్ ఫెయిల్యూర్ విల్ కమ్. ఐ హ్యావ్ వేరియస్ ఆప్షన్స్ ఇన్ డూయింగ్. సో టేకింగ్ ద గోల్ ఇన్ టు అకౌంట్, ప్లాన్ వెరీ వెల్, ఎగ్జిక్యూట్ వెరీ వెల్. బట్ వన్స్ యూ హ్యావ్ టేకన్ ది యాక్షన్, ఫర్గెట్ ద రిజల్ట్. యూ హ్యావ్ నో కంట్రోల్ ఆన్ ద రిజల్ట్. The result will come in due course according to the nature of the action. May be success, may be failure or neutral, anything. So samachittatvam, whatever may be the result, I am ready to accept. So the whole of Karma Yoga, third chapter, is condensed in this one line. Shloka 11.
Mayi chananya yogena bhaktiravya vicharinim vivikta desha sevitvam aratirjana samsadim.
So Krishna emphasizes here the importance of bhakti as a support, as a source of inspiration, to have bhakti. After all, human mind has got all weaknesses that we have to acknowledge. In spite of all viveka, vairagya, etc., at some moments, mind can get frustrated. It can feel diffident. These things can happen to any seeker. It is not unique to one person, like any seeker. So even people like Dharmaputra, Yudhishthira, he went through mental agony many times. Especially when tragedy strikes one after the other, these things can happen. People will lose faith in God himself. One cannot go to anyone else because he also has his own problems. I cannot go to somebody else. So even psychiatrist, if one goes, he will say, strengthen your mind, imagine this and that, forget this. So, which philosophy also says, whereas if to the psychologist, you have to pay maybe $400, $200 per hour and go to him. So, at the same time, there is only one way. At such situations, you have contact with the higher power and draw strength from that. This is called bhakti. Here he says, Mayi Bhaktihi, devotion to me. Here Mayi can be taken to mean the Saguna Ishwara. This discussion we have gone through many times. It could be the Saguna Ishwara, Saguna only, because Arjuna does not know Nirguna Brahma yet. So he is only a Sadhaka. He is not a Jnani yet. So have an Ishta Devata and draw strength from that Ishta Devata, whether it is Ganesha, Shiva, Mahavishnu, Ambika, doesn't matter. This is one meaning of Bhakti. And the other meaning of Bhakti is Mayi. Mayi means me. Krishna is talking as a person here, but as the infinite Lord. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna represents the infinite Lord. All other gods are finite devatas. Krishna is infinite in Bhagavad Gita context. Whereas if it is Shiva Purana, then Shiva will mean the infinite Lord and all other gods will become finite devatas. So that is why he emphasizes Mayi. That does not mean you can have only Krishna Bhakti. You can have Rama Bhakti, you can have Shiva Bhakti, you can have Ganapati Bhakti, Devi Bhakti, does not matter. But that Lord should represent the total, whatever may be your Ishta Devata. That is the idea. And what is the purpose of Bhakti? Devotion to the Lord as a support for me in my sadhana. Because we have seen that mere human effort is not effort, it's not enough. Prayatnam. Ishwara Anugraha also is needed, grace of the Lord. And this is what we call as Sharanagati, taking refuge in the Lord, so that I can have the necessary inner strength to continue my sadhana in spite of pitfalls, so many dents in life, obstacles, my own slips. So even a person like Vishwamitra, he slipped many times. And at each slip, thousands of years of tapas was gone for him. So, in fact, every rishi goes through this. Someone misbehaves and the rishi gets angry, gives a curse. And in every curse, what happens? Thousands of years of tapas, tapobalam is gone in one anger. So, every time we get wild, we should remember what happened to these rishis. All these years of study of Gita and Vedanta will be thrown away. So every time we forget Gita, get wild in a provoking situation, it is a slip. We are falling down. We should understand. But if bhakti is not there, this fall will be a permanent fall. But if bhakti is there, what will happen? Okay, I have fallen. I should not have got angry. Does not matter. I will be alert again and start over. And frustration will come. Even if I don't have, others will instigate in me. They will say, oh, you are a Vedanta student. Even you have done this. So it will frustrate me even more. So when guilt and frustrations come, devotion will help me to have further charging of the battery. Thus, bhakti is an important support for a seeker. This is one meaning of bhakti. And the other meaning of bhakti is, that alone is the real meaning, we can say. In the 7th chapter, we talked about 4 types of bhakti. Artha bhakti, Artharthi bhakti, Jignasu bhakti, and Jnani bhakti. So, Artha and Artharthi bhaktas, they are all devotion for the sake of material goals. Health, wealth, which Krishna condemned in the 9th chapter. Tetam buktvam, swargalokam vishalam, kshine punye, martyalokam vishanti. He said there. And then Krishna talked about the Jignasu bhakti. Whereas a person has devotion for the purpose of attaining the Lord himself, the spiritual goal of Ishwara Praptihi. He had that. We call it Jignasu Bhakti because attainment of Ishwara is possible by only one method. Ishwara Jnanena Ishwara Praptihi. By knowing Ishwara. And that to which Ishwara? Sopadika Ishwara or Nirupadika Ishwara? I assume all these terms are familiar to you already because we have used them so many times. So, Nirupadika Nirguna Ishwara Jnanena Eva Ishwara Praptihi. By only Nirupadika Nirguna Jnanena. So, Brahmavit Apnoti Param. The one who knows Brahman attains Supreme. And so, whoever wants to attain Ishwara, he wants to know Ishwara. So, Ishwara Praptihi means Ishwara Jnanam. So, desire for Ishwara Prapti is equal to desire for Ishwara Jnanam. And desire for Ishwara Jnanam is called Jignasa Bhakti here. So, Atato Brahma Jignasaha. So, the uniqueness of this Bhakti is, Here, the object of worship also is Lord. The goal also is Lord. The means and end, both of them are Lord. So, that is Jignasu Bhakti. In the other two Bhaktis, God is the means and the end is prosperity, children, wealth, fame, all those things. I want all those. I think the God can provide it. So, let me use God as the medium to gain all of them. When the means and ends are both the Lord, we call it Jignasu Bhakti. And it is this Bhakti that Krishna talks about here. Mayi cha anya ananya yogena bhakti. That ananya yoga, that indicates that he does not think of anything else other than the Lord. Ananya yoga, total commitment to the Lord. A yoga in which there is no other goal in the mind. So, such a bhakti is called ananya bhakti or eka bhakti. Not only this bhakti must be there, it must be avyabhicharini, which does not have any other object or which is undistracted, unwavering, unclinching. It indicates consistency, not an emotional outburst. After listening to a lecture or seeing some movie or something like that, there is some emotional burst sometimes, you know. It is not by inspiration which is temporary, but understanding which is permanent. Only whatever comes because of a solid understanding alone will be permanent. Bhakti should not come out of inspiration, but out of understanding of the principles. And that is called avyabhicharini bhakti. Charini bhakti. So that is why we say that this bhakti should be born out of viveka and vairagya. Janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, dukkha, dosha, anudarshanam. And so none of them can save me permanently. And once I have nitya, anitya, vastu, vivekaha, naturally I will have vairagyam for anitya vastu. And I will have raga for nitya vastu. Raga for nitya vastu is desired. Even though we generally do not like raga, but raga for nitya vastu. Nitya vastu is what? Only Ishvara, the Parabrahman, which alone we call as bhakti here. So the same raga for anitya vastu is called attachment or bondage. Or in the Vedantic language, it is called mumukshutvam. Raga for nitya vastu is called mumukshutvam. Moksho me bhuyat iti icha. So, three attachments are allowed. For example, attachment to the guru is allowed. Attachment to the shastra is allowed. Attachment to Ishvara is allowed. These three attachments are allowed in the scriptures. Because all these three will help a person in getting out of all other attachments. That is samsara. So, the beauty of this attachment is this what? If I have got attachments towards Guru, it is good because not only it releases the person from all other attachment, it releases the Shishya from Guru attachment also in due course. It releases from the attachment to Guru also. Similarly, Shastra attachment will remove all other attachment and in due course that attachment with Shastra also will go away. So is Ishwaracha attachment. Finally, that attachment also will go away because he will become one with Ishwara. That is called moksha. That is why Tamil, there is a Thirukkural. There is a Kural which says, Patruham, Patratran, Patrinai, Patruha, Patru Vidarka. Be attached to the Lord who is free from all attachment so that you will also become free from all attachment. So here the bhakti mentioned is Jignasu Bhakti, which is Mumukshutvam, as I told earlier. And since the word Avyabhicharini is there, the Mumukshutvam is not Manda Mumukshutvam, but Thivra Mumukshutvam. So Thivra Mumukshutvam, not a casual desire. It is not Moksha also, but Moksha only. It is not for moksha, it's for moksha only. That is called avyabhicharini bhakti. So here bhakti can be interpreted in two ways as we saw. One is bhakti towards the Lord as a support on my way. And second, bhakti as the very destination, goal of the journey. So then the next value is vivikta desha sevitvam, taking to seclusion. Vivikta Sevi. So Viveka, Vivikta Deshaha means a secluded place, a place where there are no people, like forest. Sevitvam, taking to or resorting to. So because an active person will be always associated with one person or the other, and the mind is always extrovert, because in worldly transactions the mind is extrovert in nature. You cannot even avoid it. And such a mind does not think about Atma at any time. All the time worried about earning money, saving, educating children, all those things. It is worried. Constantly I think of Anatma only. Balastavad Krida Saktaha, Tarunastavad Taruni Saktaha, Vriddhastavad Chinta Saktaha, Parame Brahmani Kopi Na Saktaha. Nobody thinks of Brahman at all. They have got all these things only. So if I drop all of them once in a while, Krishna does not, you know, he'll go into the forest and all that thing, you know. If you go to Upanishad, it will say, renounce everything. Krishna says, you don't have to go to forest and all. So, na karmana, na prajaya, dhanena, tyagena, eke, avritatva manushyo. That's what Vedas say. But Krishna compromises. He says, you don't have to renounce everything, but you should have a life of a sannyasi, at least temporarily for some time. Think of the total, the Atma. And so take to quietude once in a while, seclusion. And we will know our weakness also when we are alone. Do an introspection. Other times we may forget our weakness, escape from them. In fact, many people are very active because they are afraid of being lonely. They cannot be without company. Even after retirement, they want to take some job or the other because they cannot imagine being alone with oneself. Once in seclusion, our mind brings out our fear, weakness. Then we can face our mind squarely and tackle it completely. So loneliness or spending some time with oneself is a very important sadhana to study our own mind. So Vivikta Desha Sevitvam. Shankaracharya writes, go to some river bank, cave, garden, someplace. It is discover one's own problem of samsara. Then the next one is Aratihi Jana Samsati. Just the opposite of its, that is mentioned earlier. Not reveling in the company of people. Samsat means assembly, group, company. And Jana Samsat means group of people. The company of a lot of people. Ratihi means reveling. So always looking for company and people. Always I need company. Why? Because it is a way of escapism also. To forget my worries, problems. That is why he has used the word ratihi, getting lost in it. So being in a group for a meeting is a different thing. You have a purpose, you have a function, you have a program, no problem. But when there is no purpose, just to be together, gossip, laugh, for all of them play. All those things, when you meet together without any purpose and get lost in that, that is a defect. Because thinking goes away. Whenever a purposeless company joins together and revels in themselves, a noisy get-together is very much against Vedanta. So Shankaracharya says, Jana Samsadi Ratihi Tasya Abhavaha. Aratihi means avoidance of such a get-together, that company. So a purposeless get-together or assembly of people. And so Shankaracharya adds the adjective, Prakrita Jana Samuhaha. Prakrita Janaha, those who are uncultured people, who are not spiritual people. Prakritaha means Prakriti, Prakriti Vasham Gataha. Talking about Anatma Vishayas all the time. Money, dress, stock market, or somebody else, neighbors, about neighbors, all that thing. So, and they are all called Prakrita Janaha. Tasya Samsat. Tesham Samsat, group of such people, they meet together, as they say, eat, drink, and be merry. They are the goals for those people. That escapist group never joined them. Whereas Shankaracharya adds here, it does not mean that you should give up all groups, there is no need for that. If the group is Samskrita Janaha, if they are Sajjanaha, good people, by all means, have company with them, join them. If they talk about bhakti, jnana, scriptures, then it becomes satsanga, which is always good. Because Shankaracharya has written himself, satsangatve nisangatvam, nisangatve nirmohatvam, nirmohatve nischalatatvam, nischalatatve jivan muktihi. He has written that himself. So satsanga can help a person towards liberation. So satsanga is good. Then what is condemned here? Dussanga vajjanam. Dussanga means, it does not mean only the evil people. It is not just only evil people. They talk about anatma all the time. They are not adharmic people. They are good people only, but they talk about only anatma. So because they talk about only anatma, there is no purushartha for me at all. So that is dussanga. So aratihi jana samsadi. Non-verbally, in worldly, non-revelry in worldly company. People don't have any enjoyment in this world company for such people.
Adhyatmayana nityatvam tatpajnanartha darshanam eta jnanamiti proktam ajnanam yadatonyata.
So Krishna is continuing the discussion of values in this shloka also, which is called in this chapter as jnanam. We already told that it's called jnanam. So in this shloka he says tatva jnanartha darshanam first, and first he says tatva jnanartha darshanam, and then we will see atyatma jnana jnana nityatvam. Both we are going to see. So tatva jnana means what? The knowledge of the truth. Truth, tatvam here means truth. So tatva jnana means the knowledge of the truth. And what is tatvam? Ishvara alone is the tatvam of the whole creation. Truth is only the Lord, Ishvara. And that too, Ishvara means in his original form, Shuddha Ishvaraha, which is Nirgunam Brahma. It is not Saguna Brahma, Nirguna Brahma. So Tatva Jnanam is Brahma Jnanam or Nirguna Ishvara Jnanam or Atma Jnanam. All are same. That is why we first studied Tatva Bodha, which is nothing but Tatva Jnanam. And Artha, Artha means Prayojanam or Palam. So Tatva Jnana Artha means Tatva Jnana Palam. And what is that Palam? Moksha. Tatva Jnana Palam is Mokshaha, liberation. So Tatva Jnana Artha means Mokshaha. And Darshanam. Darshanam means constantly keeping that in the mind. Constant perception. Mokshaha. That is keeping Moksha constantly in the mind even when all other pursuits are done. One should remember that the goal of life is none of those. Wealth, house, relatives, position, possession. All are not the goals, ultimate goals, because they will all come and go. Only Ishvara is the goal. All these are means. That is why in our culture, even family life is said to be an ashrama, grahastha ashrama. It is only a rented house. Like, you know, afterwards one has to get out. Moksha is the goal. So, tatva jnanartha darshanam. Darshanam means mentally keeping it all the time. And this alone is called samadhanam in Tattva Bodha. That we already saw, samadhi shatka sampattihi, samadhama uparama titiksha shraddha samadhanam. That samadhanam is this. Tattva jnanartha darshanam. Then comes the 20th and the last value, the most important, adhyatma jnana nityatvam. Because these 19 values are the patyam, the do's and the don'ts. We already mentioned earlier. But if I observe all the patyams but don't take the medicine, all are useless. We have to have the patyam, the disciplines, and we also have to have the solution. So similarly here, the medicine is atmajnanam, which is in the form of shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam with the help of a guru. All the values are like patyam. So adhyatmajnanam, so adhyatma means the same as atmajnanam. So that which is dealing with the atma. So, see, it is Atmanam Adi Pravrittim Adhyatma. That which is in dealing with Atma, that is called Jnana. So, here Jnanam is pursuing the knowledge, and pursuit of knowledge is Shravanam, Mananam, and Nididhyasanam. Jnanam means Vicharaha, inquiry. So, that is a Sanskrit point. The word Jnanam is used in the sense of the means as well as the end here. That is, when you make the study of scriptures, that means what? Pursuit of jnanam. That is study of scriptures. And that is also called jnanam. That is why we say jnana yogaha. And as a result of this inquiry, when you get the knowledge, aham brahma asmi, it is also called jnanam. So the pursuit also is jnanam, and the end result also is jnanam. So with the vichara, the process is called jnanam. The vichara palam, the understanding of aham brahmasmi, that is also called jnanam. And in this context, jnanam means vicharaha, the pursuit, the shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, which is popularly known as jnana yoga. And from this it is very clear that bhakti yoga is the patyam and jnana yoga is the aushadam, the medicine. Bhakti is a patyam and not a medicine. It cannot cure samsara. Bhakti cannot cure samsara. That is why going to temple, etc., they gives a temporary relief. That's true. In the temple, I am fine. During bhajan, I am fine. Because it is devotion. Devotion soothes me, but does not cure me. But the permanent solution is jnana yoga only. So, adhyatma jnanam. And how long you should be practiced, this adhyatma jnanam? Nityatvam. It's a constant commitment. It cannot be just, oh, I cannot devote 15 minutes for meditation every day. No. It should be a constant commitment. That must be the primary thing in life. All other things do not matter. Vyavaharas cannot be avoided. Going to work, taking care of family, they all have to be done. They are all there. But the primary thing in the mind should be Vedanta Vichara alone. I do all my duties. They are all required. But my ultimate aim is this. So, Yetati Jnanam Iti Proktam. So both these aushadam and patyam, the study of scriptures as well as the observation of the values together is called jnanam here. And everything opposed to that is ajnanam. So yat ataha anyatha, everything that is opposed to that is called ajnanam. That is, if amanitvam is jnanam, manitvam is ajnanam. If shanti is jnanam, akshantihi is ajnanam. So, the opposite of each one of these values is called ajnanam. So, of the four items, namely karma, bhakti, jnana and values, karma, bhakti and values are supporting ones and that they are called sahakari, auxiliary. But the thing that gives moksha is adhyatma jnana nityatvam. Jnanam is the main sadhana. So, which directly contributes to moksha. And the other three, they indirectly contribute because they give chitta shuddhi, chitta ekagrata, they give all of them. Technically speaking, jnana is supposed to be sakshat upakarakam, the one that leads to moksha. Sakshat upakarakam, and the other three are said to be arad upakarakam. They are all assisting. Thus, in these 20 values, Krishna covers all the sadhanas, a comprehensive list. With this, the jnanam topic also is concluded by Krishna. And if you remember, Arjuna asked for 6 topics. If you remember the first sloka, prakritim purushan chayvam, kshetram, kshetragyam evacham, yetad veditim ichami, jnanam nyayam cha. So, of these, kshetram, kshetragyaha and jnanam, all 3 topics are over. Now, Krishna enters into the 4th topic that we will read. I don't know if I can complete now. Maybe I will take that jnanam topic. It's a little complex. Maybe I'll stop it here. I'll take that topic in the next webinar. Yo vedadau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitah tasya prakriti leenasya parasa maheshwarah sri krishna arpanamastu narayana.